Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. New champions are crowned this week. Does AJ make his decision? And who got injured at WrestleMania? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
WrestleMania is over and we have seen some new champions. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Welcome to Off the Mark. Let's get into the news. So The Rock actually got injured at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he pulled his abdominal muscle?
He said he ripped it off the bone. Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. I guess I'm not that smart because I was like, I didn't realize there was a bone there. You know what I mean? You have your spinal cord, you have your ribs. I mean, is he talking about ripped off the, you know, his ribs?
Look, I'm no doctor.
Neither am I.
I do play one on TV, but I will say this much. Even if he got injured, doesn't matter, you know, he wrestled through a match. It might explain why the match sucks so bad. Or maybe he just wanted to say that and in preparation for the hatred that was thrown his way. But, it's unfortunate he got injured. That's probably why we didn't see him on Raw this past week, although there's speculation about other things going on. I'm actually looking forward to him coming back and addressing the situation, and hopefully it'll be this next week on Raw. But Andy, WWE is ending house show brand splits. No more Raw, no more SmackDown.
I actually think this is a bad move. And the reason being is that they've been going to smaller arenas. Basically what TNA is doing for their live events. They're going to small places. The SmackDown crew right now is now going to get hurt because half those guys will not wrestle. So they're not going to make any money on house shows. They're going to travel for no reason. JTG is going to be so upset because he can't get in a squash match with Zack Ryder. My thing is, that's fine if you're ending the house show brand split. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that aspect of it. But still have the same amount of house shows. You can start one crew on Thursday and another crew on Friday. I mean, it can be done, you know, it can be done right. I'm sorry, on Friday or Saturday. Well, it depends on the week. But I think it hurts a lot of the wrestlers by doing this.
You know, let me look at it from a different point of view then. I think that it could be good for a lot of wrestlers, and here's why. You have a major superstar like John Cena, and, you know, people are going to be going to the house show because it's WWE. You know, let's face it, most people are just going to go because it's WWE. And John Cena may only work one of those house shows, and then you could have Randy Orton work the other one, and you could have Sheamus work a different one, and Jericho work a different one, and Punk work a different one. And you might get some crossover, and you're not then you don't have just Raw, which would be like Punk and Cena, and then SmackDown, which would be Orton and Sheamus. Instead, you might have Sheamus and Punk on a show together, or Orton and Cena on a show. And then the next night, it might be Orton and Sheamus, or it might be Cena and Sheamus. You never know. I will say that I think it might be a good idea. I can understand your point of view about the younger wrestlers, the smaller ones like JTG, maybe not getting over, but he probably had his moment to shine way back when, and he didn't take it. So I don't know. I think that it could be a good thing. I think that this is a good step towards moving away from the brand split and maybe ending having six titles that represent absolutely nothing. That might be a good thing, too.
Yeah, I mean, OK, I guess if you did keep it so they're not just Raw and SmackDown, they're just WWE Live and you have like event here, but then you have it two times on Saturday and two times on Sunday. What you just said, I do completely agree with.
Well, I'm also right, so, you know, that happens. But Andy, Triple H claims to have been injured before his match. Fact or fiction?
Fact, actually. In fact, we joked about it on our review show of WrestleMania 29. You can check that out, of course, at section86.com. And just go into the specials, and you'll see the WrestleMania review. And honestly, we talked about it, we joked about it, but didn't realize that he actually got burned. I didn't realize that was dry ice hitting him. And dry ice is not cool. You know?
Well, no, actually it is.
It is cool, but it's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things. It's kind of weird because, like we said, we gave him crap. But this is a weird injury because he got injured before the match, continued with the match, and actually had a okay match, I thought.
Yeah. But Andy, let's move on to another piece of information. So Big Show and WWE are getting sued.
Yeah, they're getting sued by a former producer. His name's Andrew Green, and there's not a lot of information right now because it happened at WrestleMania. And which is kind of ironic. I'm sorry. It happened at Royal Rumble because I was thinking, where was the friend of the show, Doug? He was actually there. And apparently this happened, you know, backstage. And there's not a lot of knowledge of it right now. But it's kind of weird that they're getting sued. And he named him Big Show, but then he named him later his real name. So it's kind of a weird situation right now. And maybe we'll
probably have more information about it, I guess, down the road. But Andy, let's move on to WWE programming for this week. You know, of course, WrestleMania, as you mentioned, we have a special out. So if you want to know more about that, you can. But on Raw, Andy, John Cena came out to a very vocal crowd, very vocal, and they let him have it. But Cena, you know, obviously he's champion now, and I'm sure he was very excited about that. He was holding his own, and he even played off them quite a few times. And he said a couple of things that I thought were really funny. What did you think of the segment?
I was happy with this segment, actually. The entire night, the crowd was I don't want to say disrespectful, but they just didn't care. I think
they were rowdy.
I think what happened was all the wrestling that happened over the weekend, if you were, you know, either at somewhere watching the Ring of Honor IPPV and you missed the last 5 minutes of the show, which was the most important part of the show, or rather you were there, or you went to a house show, or you went to Hall of Fame, whatever you did, dude, I think people are just burned out. I think it gets to a point where WrestleMania happens and you should take a week off is what I'm almost wondering they should do, because I think some fans are like, you know, you have fan access, Hall of Fame, WrestleMania, and then Raw. And I can only imagine how the SmackDown crowd was live. Because since it's taped, they can change things like they did on Main Event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the crowd, first of all, I want to say one of the things that Cena did that just, I lost my stuff. I really did. I just was laughing out loud when he was saying, you want to see me do a dance? Maybe a little kick? Maybe a little heel turn? And the crowd erupted. And it was hilarious. Hilarious. Cena did a great job. He, you know, even and that's the thing, too. A lot the wrestlers typically don't, you know, recognize the chance. And Cena was he said, oh, you want to have sex with chocolate when Mark Henry was out there calling them sexual chocolate. And Randy Orton. Oh, my God. During him and Sheamus's match,
Mike Chioda,
when he got mad, you could tell Cena at least was having.
OK, did you notice? Sheamus took a bump and he kind of rolled to the after he did a move to Orton and he rolled over and he was smiling and it almost looked like he was laughing at what was going on. Mm-hmm. And that to me just summed it all up. He broke character and he kind of was like, this is kind of funny. Got it. You know, it's just one of those things, dude.
Yeah, I thought it was great. They had a lot of really great chants.
You know, we got RVD.
My favorite one was when they were humming Fandango's.
Oh, gosh, dude.
Theme. And apparently on SmackDown, that was something, I don't know if it came through as much, but all the reports said that it was pretty loud even there. So it looks like they have an accidental superstar on their hands.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny that it happened that way. What would be interesting is if they had plans to change his theme music, and then they're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do it. No. But
so
yeah,
Andy, Miz wins and loses the IC title in a day. What do you think?
This was so stupid. Why give him a title at the pre-show to have him drop it the following night? There's no reason. And then there's a press release that comes out for a movie that the Miz is doing. You think you'd say the, you know, Mike Mizarian, you know, the Miz, you know, United States heavyweight intercontinental champion, you know, you could then say his name, and that sounds I think, better. But instead, he wins the title and drops the next night. And I guess that's why they dropped the nameplate from that IC title. Plus, they're using the old one.
Yeah, well, and on top of it, too, look, I hate short title reigns. And especially when it's, I didn't feel like there was any sense of urgency. I didn't feel like, you know, Wade was, I have to get this title back. Oh, you got to give this to me. You know, there was none of that. It's like, hey, we decided to throw this match together. Oh, and by the way, the title is going to get dropped. And you're wondering what is going to happen. I talking about Christian when he won the world heavyweight title and then lost it 2 days later. And then they said, no, it's part of a bigger storyline. The bigger storyline was that him and Randy Orton feuded and had matches for the next 4 months straight where Randy Orton owned him every single match. And this is kind of, I think, a similar situation where Miz wins the title, drops it immediately, and now Wade's going to own him again and again and again. It's actually really sloppy writing, and I got to say, I'm really disappointed. That was, I thought one of the better moments was having Miz win and then have him drop it right away. And I'm not a huge Miz fan, so storyline-wise, I think it's really dumb. I really do. And I don't know where they go from here.
Well, maybe they kind of, you could almost say Wade Barrett could be like, there's no competition here. I'm going to go to the other show. And then you bring Antonio Cesaro in, bring the U.S. title back. Eh. You could do that, even though, I mean, that's the thing, dude. Why not have the champion WrestleMania? Anyways, so let's talk about Ryback now. What's going on with them? Are they turning him heel? Because the crowd didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, he came out and beat Cena at the very end. And then did Feed Me More, the crowd went along with it.
Yeah.
The only problem I have is the crowd. Because the crowd just got sick and tired of wrestling. You could just tell. And when
they were marks. The entire crowd was full of marks. Listeners to the show in particular. And so they knew what to chant. Okay, here's my thought. WWE said this crowd is rowdy. And they didn't have CM Punk go out for multiple reasons, but I think one of the reasons in particular was if CM Punk went out, the crowd was going to cheer him. It was going to look a little weird. John Cena gets a reaction wherever he goes. So, you know, having him cheered and booed, that's one thing. But Ryback, who they've been pushing down our throats, when he gets a massive ovation after knocking down Cena, after clotheslining him and then doing his, you know, turtle shock to him, after doing that, the crowd erupted and they were just super happy with him. He didn't heel turn necessarily. And I think that next week on Raw, he's going to come out and say, I want the belt. You know, look, I'm a good guy. I just want the belt. And in my opinion, that makes Ryback a more interesting character. Because the biggest problem with Cena is that he's one dimensional. He's not multidimensional. And that's the problem. If Cena was heel or even a tweener and he did good and bad things, then you know what? He'd be a lot more interesting of a character. I think that's one of the things about Dolph that people really like is that he's a bad guy, but he's got some really cool qualities to him. And I think that feeds into something that really probably I think the biggest shocker of the week was Dolph winning the title.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the biggest shock of the week. I mean, I kind of expected it, though. Like, did you have any expectation that this was going to happen?
No, I didn't. I thought he was going to hold the title till the next pay-per-view.
No, I really thought that he was going to cash it in. But I was like, when are they going to do it? When are they going to do it? Then they started doing the injury angle to the knee. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. And that's how I figured it out. I was like, Dolph's going to come out and cash in. Because that would be the only thing that could mean why would Alberto Del Rio have the knee injury and maybe go off TV for a little bit. That's the only thing I'm thinking they're doing. But yeah, so he becomes a two-time World Heavyweight Champion. Everyone's happy for him because he's been a hard worker. I mean, look at some of the matches he had. He put over Zack Ryder a couple of times, of all people.
Yeah.
And Zack Ryder gets buried. So if that tells you anything. Yeah. You know, and Dolph is everything that they've asked Dolph to do, he's done. And that's one thing you can say. You don't hear bad stuff about him because he's a fitness freak, which is awesome. He's done everything he could want in the ring, and he looks good. He looks good. He reminds me of Evan Bourne a lot. He reminds me of Evan Bourne. Mm-hmm. And the way that they wrestle and their style, and that's why the few matches they've had in the WWE, they've been really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this was probably the biggest shock. I talked to multiple people who said that Raw was better than WrestleMania. And I think that says a lot
actually,
about the show.
Yeah.
And about Raw. And in fact, you didn't need to see WrestleMania. If you watched Raw, you knew everything that happened. And you saw much, much better matches. Don't get me wrong. Undertaker Punk, great match. You know, 4.5 stars for me. But, this Raw was just, I thought, really great.
Do you think Undertaker's coming back full time?
I think he might be, and I know that, and we can talk about the Shield and Team Hell No stuff. But I think we may want to save that for next week, because I think that's something bigger is going to be coming then.
Really?
All right. I kind of feel like there might be.
All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite every web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page. You're going to see some awesome deals from WWEShop.com. Just click on that banner. Go to type in WWE Save 10 or 15 or whatever they have at that time, and you're going to save a bunch of money on any order from WWE Shop, and maybe you can get the new WWE Heavyweight Championship. I'm sorry, the new WWE title. And also make sure you check out highspots.com. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So I want to talk about something really, really weird. The TNA bumper this week, I was impressed with. And I don't care for bumpers. I usually fast forward through all of them. But they actually had a cool one where they started naming the stars. They named Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, Austin Aries, James Storm. I mean, they name these guys off, and you're just like, wow. I didn't know who that guy was, but now that I do, hey, I'm going to, root for him. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't know the name of the wrestler, but it's something different, something I haven't seen before, and I got to give credit to them on that.
Absolutely. It's really cool for them to be trying new things. They're constantly trying, and I like that. I really do, and I'd like to give them props for that, too. Now, Andy, biggest thing that happened to start off the show, we had Hernandez and Chavo taking on Robert Roode and Austin Aries in a 2 out of 3 falls match. And the first two falls happened pretty quickly.
Yes, they happened with, 30 seconds?
Honestly, it kind of sucked. It really sucked because there wasn't that mystery involved then. It was two falls happened immediately. And then we have a long match for the third fall. It's like, no, that's not how it should go. Have medium, for one, medium for two, medium for three, or long, short, short. It was kind of weird for them to do with the opposite, in my opinion. But Chavo and Hernandez recaptured the gold. What happens with Austin Aries and Hernandez now? Or Austin Aries and Robert Roode,
I think they stay a tag team for another impact or two, and I think that'll be it. I think they'll go their separate ways. I wouldn't be surprised if Roode actually went for the title, because really Jeff Hardy just had his rematch. So who is Bully Ray going to face at Slammiversary?
Heel versus heel,
Yeah.
In a 4-way, like I mentioned, at Slammiversary, you do a 4-way match.
Matt Morgan, Bully Ray, Jeff Hardy.
Robert Roode.
I don't think you have Robert Roode or Aries in that match.
Well, you probably wouldn't, but, if you were looking for that. But, Andy, let's move on, though, to Joey Ryan.
Rob Terry.
Joey Ryan
gets
put in a squash match.
Against Rob Terry.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rob Terry, of course. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Terry came out, did the whole Terminator gimmick that I think is pretty cool. And just beat the crap out of Joey Ryan. I don't think Joey Ryan even got a move in. This reminded me of old WWF show, Saturday morning shows, when they'd have the one wrestler come out, squash mess. That guy may have got a punch in, but then he got slapped right afterwards, and that was it. And Joey Ryan even took a couple knife edge chops, and that really hurt.
I have an idea for Joey Ryan. TNA, please, I hope you're listening to this. I know you are.
SoCal Val, please.
Yes, SoCal Val, please. Joey Ryan gets put into the X Division where he should be. He wins the X Division title, and he refers to it as the Triple X title. Boom.
Boom.
Storyline.
Why are we wrestlers for an organization? That is a good storyline, especially for TNA. You say, I am a part of TNA, and I am now your Triple X champion.
Exactly.
And you can do it perfectly sleazy.
And you did that a little too well. I don't want to know why. I don't want to know why. And AJ does not make a decision. He was supposed to.
He was going to.
Yeah, he was going to wrestle Storm this week, you know, and then they push that back now into another week. So what do you think?
Well, hopefully they have a decent match. It's going to be interesting to see AJ actually wrestle because it's been so long. But it's nice.
I don't think he's going to wrestle.
You don't think so?
Nope. They're going to tease this till Slammiversary, dude.
No. You can't do a Sting storyline, dude. You just can't do a Sting storyline.
I got a feeling, man. I got a feeling.
I'm glad you have a feeling, but I think I do.
I have a feeling in my hands, which is really good sign. I have a feeling that AJ will not wrestle until Slammiversary. Or at least he won't wrestle Storm until Slammiversary, because I think it'll make for a more interesting storyline if you do that.
Well, but I got a feeling that if they would have put the proper table, one maybe that wasn't already broken outside the ring against in the Bully Ray Jeff Hardy match, I think the match would have been over a little bit sooner. And we probably missed one spot. By the way,
and I got a feeling that tonight is going to be a good night. That tonight is going to be a really good night. But no. Andy, so Bully defeats Jeff Hardy and was a pretty good match. You know, it was definitely the type of match that you expect out of those two. But it was definitely worth watching.
It was like a short 12-minute match, approximately. And I thought that was weird because it started and the show had like, well, I guess 24 minutes left in the show when the match started. And I was like, this is kind of weird. You know, they're giving them, I guess in that case, they gave them at least 18 minutes. But I just thought it was kind of different. You know, it was kind of weird that they didn't rush the match, which, you know, like some of the matches can be rushed during live TV, but they didn't rush anything, which I was pretty happy about.
Yeah, and TNA, they have a very strict time. WWE is a, well, you're probably going to go over 5 minutes. You know, you're there for three hours, 5 minutes. You'll probably go over 5 minutes. If Rock's there, you'll go over 20. But, you know, and they do that. TNA doesn't have that luxury. TNA, it's a, you have 2 hours. You might have 2 hours and 30 seconds, maybe. But you have 2 hours, and that's that.
And they've been cut off before, too, which is the weird part. Yeah. Also, the fact that they blew the table spot, and then Hardy wanted to do it because there's a reason why. So he ran back, got a table, threw it down there, redid the spot, went up for the ladder, and Hardy took a hard bump, which I was shocked about. He had his head on the bottom rope. Those ropes are unforgiving sometimes.
Yeah, I did see that. Now, Andy, there's one thing here that I want to talk about that, you know, I don't know if I might be losing my mind.
Okay.
But I was almost certain that they said next week on Impact, which would be this week, that the X Division title was going to be defended. Well, I was almost certain. And I might be wrong. You know, people might be listening to this going, dude, no, they did not say that. I'm almost positive that they did. And that title was not defended.
You know, I think you're right. I'll have to rewatch Impact from last week because I still have it. I'll watch it just to make sure that it did happen, that they did say it. But of course, you remember the TV title is supposed to be defended every week, too. So
when was the last time the TV title was defended?
I don't know. And it's gotten to the point now where that title's meaningless. They should just honestly get rid of it. Just get rid of it. You're not doing anything because you got your world heavyweight champion. You have your knockout.
X-Division.
You have your knockout title or tag titles. You have the tag titles, and then you have the X Division. So you have five championships. That's all you need. You don't need a TV title because the TV title really is your X Division championship. But that's
well,
my
you
opinion.
Need that secondary title though, that second tier, because the X Division's their third tier title.
Okay, so let's just say you have they're actually defending the TV title. It'd be one thing, but they're not.
No, they're not. Well, that's the problem. They need to defend that freaking title. It honestly really makes me mad. That title hasn't been defended in so long. Give it to somebody who is a workhorse. D-Von does not need that title. He does not bring any prestige to it. And he it really, really just yeah, I'm upset about it.
When did TNA go live? That's the last time I think he actually defended it, because it was at a live show. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. That's the sad part.
So, Andy, weekly topic. What would you want to talk about this week?
Oh, let's talk about the Hall of Fame. It was on USA, of course. It was on Thursday night. Ran from 9 to, I think, 10:15 or something like that.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah. And they missed a couple people, which I was disappointed about. But, you know, Foley came out, did his thing. And I thought the whole segment with him and Chris Jericho was hilarious.
It was really funny. Yeah, I liked it, too. I thought it was, you know, he said the one thing I've never done in my career was beat Chris Jericho. And so Punk gets up there and he counts 1, 2, 3 for him. Really neat. I liked it. I thought it was good taste and good fun.
Wait, so it was Punk really that cool. was the ref?
I think that I'm almost positive.
Oh,
that
was dude, Punk. I actually thought it was a real ref. One of the real WWE refs that went up there and was like, 1, 2, 3, you know.
I'm almost positive. That was one of those things. The Hall of Fame ceremony, when I watched it, a lot of it was watched while I was doing something else. Because, you know, for the most part, you don't have to really pay that much attention to it. But I thought it was interesting. Mick Foley, you know, gave a good heartfelt speech. It was kind of neat to see Terry Funk there again. And I got to say, I think that this Hall of Fame class is definitely the most stacked. I really do. I think when you have Mick Foley as one of your mid-level guys, I think that says something about that class. Booker T was really great, too. Him and his brother, Stevie Ray. It was really neat to see them together. It was kind of nice to see Stevie Ray. He looked great for his age because, you know, he's definitely getting up there. And I thought he looked really great. It was nice to see him again. But, Andy, I'm curious. Your favorite wrestler of all time, Bob Backlund, was there.
Shane Helms?
So what did you think of Bob Backlund?
He was there. They didn't show his speech, but they showed Maria Menounos. But, yeah, so which I didn't understand why she presented to him. Supposedly they're friends.
Yeah.
I don't believe that, dude. There's,
you know...
Because, you know what I mean? Like, he's all Congress guy, Senator Bob Backlund, and she's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a wrestling fan, and she gets paid to do it. I just have a weird feeling that Bob Backlund was like, I don't want to have this guy come up there because he was busted for doing this. I don't want to have this person because of this. That's what I was wondering if that's what happened. But who knows, dude?
Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of weird. You know, of course, the fans were a little rowdy when it came to her and with Donald Trump, as you can imagine.
Well, Donald Trump, they had a right to do that. I don't like Trump. Well,
look, Donald Trump, he is an entertainer. He's a celebrity. But he, at the same time, he's kind of a jerk. He really is. And I'm sure that those fans used other words to describe him. But, you know, he's a little bit of a jerk. So, that doesn't surprise me. Booker T, you know, his was really cool, as I had mentioned. Trish Stratus, hers was pretty good. It's funny when they did the Hall of Fame class for WrestleMania, I was talking to a buddy of mine. And I was a little surprised because she always looks older to me, but she's not that much older. She's like 37. She's actually pretty young.
Really? Just 37?
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Huh.
And think about everything she's done, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
That is impressive when you think about it, because she's still in her prime. I mean, yeah. She's in her prime and she's going to be considered a cougar, I guess.
But Andy, the creme de la creme, the big guy,
Bruno,
you know, he held the championship the longest. And will always be considered the probably the best of all time, and that's Bruno Sammartino.
Considered the best wrestler of all time, which is saying something, because there's a, you know, there's some people that, you know, that having great wrestlers, Hulk Hogan's been a great wrestler, but Bruno, going back and seeing how they wrestled back then, the way that they could do a match was pretty impressive, because back then it was not, there was not a lot of communications. The, you know, there was not headsets back then. There was no telling on how this crowd was going to react or this crowd was going to react. You just went out there and did your thing. And he sold out MSG so many times. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
He looks more different than any of the other guys, though. Every guy could see it. Him, I had to sit there and be like, is that really him? Which is kind of weird. But that just shows, you know, I guess when you've been working out so much and then you stop working out and that muscle goes away. I mean,
he was very thin compared to what he looked like normally, because he was a big guy. He was very built. And, you know, obviously the muscle went away, but, you know, Bruno, he held the WWF title longer than anyone else will ever hold that title for, no matter what. And he'll always go down as being one of the greatest. And what he was able to accomplish in that time was just really, it was kind of amazing. You know, being able to sell out crowds based on your name alone, and for something like wrestling, that's just, it's so weird to fathom that nowadays, that that man was able to do it. But it's really cool, and I'm glad that they were able to put him in the Hall of Fame. And you know, it's one of those things. It was a very long time coming. People like Edge got into the Hall of Fame before Bruno Sammartino did. So this Hall of Fame class, by far the best the WWE has ever done. And also, I would like to say that keep it small, because it makes it more special. If you only have five people going to the Hall of Fame, guess what? It's a bigger deal. So I hope that they keep that up. I hope that it's a tradition that they take, you know, going forward.
And I agree with you on that. I mean, my only problem this year with, there's one thing that I had a problem with this year's Hall of Fame. There's only one. Donald Trump. He does not deserve to be in it. It was just a thing to add to his ego. He's like, I'm also in the WWE Hall of Fame. Celebrity wing.
Okay, don't get me wrong. In my opinion, you don't have a celebrity wing. There's no need for that. You don't put, you know, Drew Carey in the Hall of Fame. I think that's just, I think it's silly. I really do. But out of all the people, I think that he would deserve it more than some of the other people that they put in. Because then they put like William Refrigerator Perry in there or something like that. They put a football player in there that did not deserve to be in there.
And Pete Rose got in, but that was a publicity thing, though.
Yeah, well, that's the point I'm making. At least Donald Trump had something to do with it. Did he have enough to do with it that shaped what WWE was about? I don't think so. You know, yeah, they held WrestleMania there and he was involved in a match. But it's not like Booker T, who won the WCW title, you know, was built up from scratch. I remember him fighting Fit Finlay for the TV title, for crying out loud.
Hulk Hogan, we're coming.
Well, yeah, he said that he's coming for him, you know, and that's one of the things that Booker T did. And he was able to rise up and go into WWE and win their World Heavyweight Championship. And I think that he had a major impact. Mick Foley, the same thing. Trish Stratus, you know, arguably the greatest women's wrestler of all time. And, you know, Bruno and Bob Backlund. So those people did something that if they didn't do that, the WWE wouldn't be the same. Donald Trump, on the other hand, yeah, I'm sure that it wouldn't be bad off.
You got to talk about Bob Backlund, too. I mean, Bob Backlund. I mean, he had the cross-faced chicken wing. I mean, and the funny thing is, every time I see him, it just makes me laugh, because he can still wrestle if he wanted to.
I don't understand the appeal of him. He looks so...
Yes.
Normal.
Yes.
There's nothing special
like
about him.
You could run into him, you know, in the street, and you know, he could be like, I'm a wrestler, and you're like, yeah, you're not.
Yeah, go. Okay, sure thing. Sure thing. But nothing unique.
But yeah, one thing about Booker T I wanted to say real quick. He was a slow build. And I like slow builds, slow progression, tag champs with Stevie Ray. You have a great feud with him and Stevie Ray. you know, he ended up moving on to the TV title. Crispin, the best of seven series with Crispin Waugh, where it ended on Thunder, and you knew that it was going to be a double DQ or a draw, and they'd have to wrestle on the pay-per-view. I mean, you just knew that stuff. So, like, going back, looking back at Booker T's career, he reminds me a little bit of DDP's, how I didn't expect Booker T to win the title. I didn't expect DDP to win the title when they first did. And when they did, you're like,
Booker T. I never expected him.
Yeah.
DDP, you know, okay. Booker T, no way. Booker T to me was not championship material, but I also was 16, so I didn't know better. But I was amazed that he was able to rise up the way he did. So kudos to him.
Yep, and kudos to this year's Hall of Fame. That's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.